All right, back in your life for the post show on this December 3rd, 2018. A happy Hanukkah to all of you celebrating out there. Now, usually at the top of the post show, I wax poetic about fastest growing, blah, 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 crust first, yes, that, blah, blah, blah. We don't have time for that because a lot has happened over this past weekend. A lot has happened on the show today. I'm an emotional wreck. Three people cried on the show, including myself, and there's just a lot to get to. So without further ado, let's say hello to the man, Brittany, on the team called the Watermelon.
Shout out to Brittany.
For his Reebok sweatshirt.
It is.
Courtesy Reebok. Of our friends over at Reebok.
That's correct.
You're a big Reebok guy.
I'm a Reebok guy.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson from back in the days.
Right.
It has a special place in my heart.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Not as much.
You weren't a big...
Iverson was the guy
Iverson,
for me, for
the,
sure.
The question?
The questions, the answers, both of those were...
Wait, there was question and... He was the answer.
Yes, but he had shoe lines, the question, and he also had the answer.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were all the question. It was a Q with a three.
Yeah, that was one line.
Yeah.
And he also had the answers, which were like the AI, like the Jordan line is like Jordan one.
That.
He had the answer one, answer two. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we learned something new.
There you go.
A lot to unpack from today.
Huge show, huge weekend.
I mean, Morrow's crying about the Tyson Fury fight. Weidman's crying about his kids. I'm crying because Weidman's crying.
Jake's crying about the technical difficulties.
Jake's crying because Weidman's in the building.
That too.
Austin Vanderford signing. Jake Hager. What else happened? I mean, there's just a lot. There's just a lot to happen.
It was a very jam-packed show, but all eventful. Everybody brought it today. And we had some breaking news. We had the emotional moments that you touched upon. We had a preview from both the main eventers of this Saturday's fights. A lot to talk about.
Okay, we'll save Saturday, Toronto,
sure.
231 for a second. Let's first put this past weekend to bed. Two UFCs, two Bellators, Fury versus Wilder, KSW, which again, I enjoyed immensely. Do you watch KSW ever?
Time to time. I didn't catch last.
So they're on DAZN now.
It's yeah, very I didn't easy catch last weekend.
The entrances are phenomenal. Really love
production value is very high. KSW.
Oh my God. But they're very unique. They've got this guy, the announcer guy. He brings the microphone down like this and he does this
old school boxing.
But he does like, he almost raps it.
Mm-hmm.
He does like a poem. He does like the spoken word type of thing. Like there's a spotlight on him and he's like, ladies and gentlemen. And he tells like a story about the guy coming out. It's amazing. Mamed Khalidov retires. Anyhow, I enjoyed that. Tough finale on Friday. Kamaru Usman wins. They crown two Ultimate Fighter champions. Quick. Who are they?
Oh boy. No. Macy Chasson.
Mm.
And
I like the French.
Who was the male winner? I don't know. I don't know the male winner.
Adelaide, two Bellator events.
Wait, who was the male winner for Tough? Do you know? Here we go.
Eddie Alvarez texting me right now.
Shout out.
Best performance of the weekend.
Oh boy.
The one that stood out.
Are we discounting the boxing fight?
No, absolutely not.
Tyson Fury.
What a performance.
I mean, just the fact that, I mean, I don't need to talk about it more. Or talked about it more eloquently than I ever could, what he's able to come back from. But then in the fight itself, 3 years removed, to have that level of technical mastery and to be able to recover from the punches that he did from Wilder, he's got to get the nod for performance of the weekend.
And then to get knocked down.
Oh, yeah.
Not once, but twice.
Knocked down twice by
a
guy who is essentially a knockout artist, a guy who essentially finishes fights every single time he's in there.
And then his rendition of American Pie.
Singing was also fantastic.
I think I watched that like 15 times, like the way he gets there. And I love Freddie Roach off to the side who's like, are we really doing this right now? Is this really happening?
That would be the clip that you would. I would pin you watching that one because you love the
over.
Quirky.
I watched that more than
for sure.
The knockdown.
Yeah.
As great as that was. And I loved what he was wearing, the shirt. Just amazing. I must say, what's so interesting about that is, you know, for the longest time, it feels like there's been a rivalry between boxing and MMA.
Yes.
And it was so interesting. You know, three pretty good MMA fights going on. I felt like if I were to tweet about them, like if I were to tweet about Justin Willis and Mark Hunt, and I did initially, people would, it's the one time people would say, like, shut up about MMA on my timeline. Because everyone wanted to talk about that fight and just enjoy that fight. There's something about heavyweights. There's something about a big boxing match. Those two personalities, in particular, the build. It's one of the first times, I think, in my career where I felt like more people on my timeline, in my MMA section, were talking about a boxing match over an MMA card, a UFC card, not just an MMA card, a UFC card.
I certainly experienced that myself. Now, I think it would be different if we were dealing with a UFC pay-per-view.
Really?
I think
that was that was pretty electrifying. Like that.
Oh, no doubt that boxing match. I was very excited about that. That was the fight I was looking forward to most coming into the weekend. The fight that delivered, and I felt the best about after the weekend. I think it would have been different if it was a big, you know, UFC pay per view night. I think there would have been people who would have been more interested in your MMA commentary. But I do think that the magnitude of that fight sucked up all the air. It definitely overshadowed, in my opinion.
I want to see a rematch in England.
Yes, I would like to
football
see that as
stadium
well.
In England.
It seemed like when Jim Gray was interviewing Wilder, though, it seemed like he was not too keen on that. He said, let's do it wherever, but let's do it back in America.
Yeah, well, of course. But I feel like Tyson went over there, and now you return the favor.
I agree.
The broadcast was great. It was cool to see your boys, Deezy Somero, on there.
I mean, I don't even know what to... Like, that's just mind-blowing.
Jake Paul showing up in Luis Ortiz's corner. I mean, there was just so much going on. It was fun. It felt like March Madness. On Friday, with the Bellator prelims going on at the same time as the UFC prelims, and there were so many recognizable names like Joe Schilling.
Yep.
The Joe Warren fight was a little bit... Mm-hmm. Unsettling. He broke his jaw. It seemed like he broke his jaw, and then he said he couldn't feel his hands, and so there was just a lot going on. And then I woke up Sunday after all that, and then you find out about Adonis Stevenson, and you just kind of feel weird about the fight game. In fact, I got a text in the middle of the show today from someone I know in Montreal who actually gave me an Adonis Stevenson update.
Oh, wow.
That I wanted to read because I spoke about it earlier. Following the hospitalization of Mr. Adonis Stevenson at Hôpital de l'Enfant Jésus on December 2nd, the Quebec Université Laval confirms that he is still in intensive care unit and under controlled sedation. His condition remains stable. As agreed with Mr. Adonis's family and group Yvonne Michel, that's his promoter, please note that no further comments will be made at this time and no press briefing is scheduled for today. Further information will be given in a timely manner. In the meantime, thank you for allowing Mr. Stevenson's relatives to go through this ordeal in privacy. So pretty much the same update that we had yesterday. But you just, I don't know. I think sometimes about, and I'm not saying this is happening to me right now, but famously, Howard Cosell went through this where he was like the biggest champion for boxing and supporter and the face in terms of television. And then later in his life, he actually soured on boxing.
Sure.
After seeing what happened to Muhammad Ali and whatnot. And sometimes I will admit that sometimes I have those feelings when I hear about things like what Adonis Stevenson is going through. And so it's sort of it skewed the way I felt about the whole weekend afterwards.
Yes, and I don't disagree that moments like this make you feel that way, but so do moments like Tyson Fury coming back from what he's come
Mixed
from
emotions.
That redemption story, or not even redemption, but that bounce back story, that comeback story of what he was able to overcome through the sport of boxing, of fighting, as we experience in mixed martial arts. There's two sides to that coin, and yes, and why it's so crucial that athletes' rights are protected and cared for and thought about is because of moments like this with Adonis Stevenson, where we want to make sure that these guys are taken care of. They give so much of themselves. They're literally giving themselves every time they step into the cage or into the ring. But the redemptive qualities of it are undeniable as well, like we experienced with Tyson Fury. So it's kind of what we're, you know, that's what we have to deal with if we want the glory. We also have to deal with this unfortunate circumstance.
I thought Steven Espinoza put it very well on Twitter last night. So many mixed emotions. And Steven Espinoza, by the way, is the head of Showtime Sports.
Yeah.
Respect, admiration, and awe. The incredible display of heart, determination, and sportsmanship by Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Despair over the tragic injury suffered by Adonis Stevenson. The best and worst of the sport in one night.
Absolutely.
And this happens, you know, we haven't experienced it as much, but look, what happened to Adonis Stevenson could have happened to Chuck Liddell last week. Knowing, you know, how old he is and what he's been through. It was very nice to see that message that he posted. Did you see that?
I did.
He seemed to be in a good place. No hard feelings towards
Congratulating Tito, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's just kind of scary and a reminder, as I said at the top of the show today, of, you know, what these men and women go through and how we should always have the utmost respect for them, even if there's this, like the Mark Hunt fight. Think about the fights that Mark Hunt has delivered for us, that he's been in, the entertainment that he's given us. Yeah, that fight on Saturday was not one of his best. It won't be remembered. It's not a highlight reel fight. It was somewhat of a clunker, if you will.
Yeah.
But I can't boo Mark Hunt.
No.
You know what I mean? You have done enough.
And beyond that, every single time he steps into that cage, he's in danger. He's putting himself at risk for our entertainment. So even though it may not have been the you know, slugfest, the thriller that you wanted, there is an element to this that it is not promised, it is not guaranteed. Every time you're stepping in, there is an element of danger, and he has given us many moments of glory on the other side of that.
I think we're going to see Mark back. Like, Mark, for those that don't know, texted me after the show. I said after the interview, I thought that was the best Mark Hunt that I've heard from in a long time. He felt free, happy, you know, the shackles are off. He can go out and explore. He's unemployed, but he seemed to be thrilled. And he actually texted me after the show apologizing, saying that he thought it was a bad interview and that he didn't express himself. And I called him and said, no, I thought that was one of your best interviews. I think he's a little emotional about how it ended with the UFC, not winning the UFC belt. And, you know, no one wants to be involved in a lawsuit. But I don't think his three losses or his performances have hurt his stock. And I feel like there is still a market for Mark Hunt. Like, Bellator, Ryzen, one doesn't really have a heavyweight division. I doubt he goes through the PFL tournament. But those two in particular seem like layups.
Yeah, and it has to be a difficult position for him because his whole story, as you actually tweeted this over the weekend, his whole story was that he wasn't wanted. He was initially going to be cut and then talked to Dana White, got what he wanted to stay in the UFC and fight out that contract and climbed his way up. He actually was, if not, you know, right there for the title shot, like one or two steps away. He was but right on the cusp
belt, if you recall, in Mexico.
And could have been a champion in the UFC. It seemed like toward the end of his career, you know, he was just in these fun fights. And I don't think that there is a shortage of fun fights out there that he can be in. Or rather, toward the end of his career with the UFC, I don't think there's a shortage of fun fights out there for other organizations that he can be a part of. And to be honest, in the heavyweight division, he's probably not far from being a champion in some of these other organizations.
No.
And I think if he can find that motivation to be champion again, he'll set himself up well.
Look, Czech Congo has looked good as of late, but Czech Congo is about to fight in a number one contender fight in Bellator. There's no reason why
Mark Hunt
can't
be, right
be in that spot as well. I said last week that I really like the Adelaide card because it spotlighted a lot of local talent. Jake Matthews, Mark Hunt, Tyson Pedro, Tai Tuivasa, all fighting on the main card. All of them ended up losing.
Yeah.
That hurts a market. I thought it was great that they allowed those walkouts. Finally.
Yeah.
Can we just, like, that's the thing. When I was watching KSW, it's like these walkouts are so unique. They're so fun. Look at the Wilder walkout. Look at the Tyson Fury walkout. He walked out to like 10 songs.
Yeah.
And I loved every second of it. Please, just, can we just chill out a little bit and let these fighters' personalities come out? You know, like, imagine if Max Holloway could come out to something, you know, like, I just, that's what I love about combat sports. And anyway, it was so nice to see that. And I hope it's maybe a sign of things to come. They let Tai Tuivasa do it.
Yeah.
They let Mark Hunt do it. But it ended up being a tough night. However, for the second week in a row, we had two old dogs remind us that they're not done. Last week it was, and I don't want to call Francis Ngannou an old dog, if you will, but maybe someone that we counted out.
Yeah.
He wins in impressive fashion. Alistair Overeem wins in impressive fashion. And yes, JDS is coming off a couple wins, but I think people still don't know how to feel about him. This was supremely impressive. And then you have Shogun Hua, who I think after the loss to Anthony Smith, everyone thought was done, beats Tyson Pedro.
Yeah, I think people thought that Tyson Pedro was going to walk all over him, and the betting odds reflected that. It's funny, actually, I said to Jake in the back that I was thinking Shogun was very much in this fight, a live dog in this fight, but I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger on it. But
was he the dog?
Oh, big.
Really?
Heavy dog.
Wow.
No, this was supposed to be a coronation for Orton. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this was supposed to be Tyson Pedro making a statement on the back of Shogun.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. And that did not end up being what it was.
And I feel like we've been in this spot before with Shogun, where it's like, okay, this is
the
one.
Anthony Smith did make a statement.
Yeah. But yeah, like OSP. Remember when he
sure.
Like 5 years ago that happened.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. And then he's being talked about for a title shot, weirdly enough, earlier this year.
He's hanging around, for sure.
As Mauro said, pride never die. He's the one. He's like one of the last of the Mohicans.
Yeah,
Shogun closed at a 4-1 underdog.
Yeah. Jeez.
Big.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, his performances would show that. I mean, the last one was the one where you're like, that's a tough fight for Shogun. But as you said, turn back the clock, and several guys have recently. JDS, I think you're right in saying that he was one of the ones or one of the fighters that people were saying, what has he still got left? Even though he's winning, even though his last fight was a win, people were scared of where his chin is and his technical ability. And he looked very good against Tai Tuivasa.
I'm not ready to write off JDS. I said that even last week that I think he's fighting a little smarter, a little more technical, not taking as much damage. In this fight, he did take some damage, but I'm not ready to write him off. Wanted to briefly mention Kamaru Usman because he had a big win. I thought that it was funny to hear Dana White talk about him so glowingly after the fact. However, I don't buy the fact that he is in the running for a title shot because I do feel like they're having a little bit of a hard time making the Colby Covington Tyron Woodley fight, and I feel like they're using Kamaru to get those guys to get their act together and accept the fight. They want to make that fight for Anaheim, and I don't know if the timing is going to work out. Quite frankly, to the best of my knowledge, they really need a main event for Brooklyn. This is the debut card on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Lest we forget what the debut fight on Fox was.
Yeah. JDS versus
King. We need a big fight.
Yeah.
My opinion, you should have put Henry Cejudo versus TJ Dillashaw on that first ESPN card and then try to do something for Anaheim. Not the case. But I don't feel like Usman's going to get that title. I think he's going to wait. Do you think he should wait? Meaning, should he fight like Santiago Ponzinibbio, who he was supposed to fight back in May, or has he done enough at this point?
Jeez, I mean, if I was him, I would wait, but I'm not having the behind-the-scenes negotiations. At this point, how much more can I possibly do? Like, right. What does a win over Ponzinibbio do that this win over RDA doesn't do for me? It's either going to happen or not. Like,
yeah,
he's biding time at this point. Does he need to keep fighting forever until they ultimately give in? Possibly. But he should leverage everything he's got right now while they're still figuring it out if they can make Woodley and Covington work and hopefully sneak in the back door there.
It's amazing because getting title shots in this game is very much a timing thing. Tony Ferguson dealing with the same thing.
Yeah.
Like the stars aren't aligning for the guy. His problem is he happens to be in the division with Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov and everything that went on with those two. Usman, for whatever reason, the UFC was slow to get on board with him. He's had some performances that maybe left a little bit to be desired, and now he's ready, and now they're going through the thing with Woodley and Covington. But I think he has earned it, and if I were advising him, I'd say just chill. There's no need to fight anyone else at this point, especially if he's banged up.
If there was something to prove, if there was somebody that would help him get closer, sure. But what else? Where else is there to go at this point? He's earned the shot.
Nice win for Joseph Benavidez over the weekend. Antonina Shevchenko making her debut, picking up a win. The Shevchenko sisters, and I hope this isn't a sign of things to come this weekend. I feel like it won't be, but they have the worst luck when it comes to wins. Her opponent missed weight by 4.5 pounds. Again, Bellator had some good shows as well. But I want to bring up Sage Northcutt.
Yes.
He has officially signed with ONE. He was quote-unquote let go by the UFC.
We know that's not true.
Are you surprised he has left the UFC and signed with ONE Championship?
No, I mean, it feels like forever ago, but we were even talking about this was around the time of Jake Paul and KSI. The idea of Sage coming up on free agency and potentially doing his own thing. I think there's plenty of opportunities for him to be in the UFC at a later point. Again, if he wants to do that. This is the time to make some money, have some fun fights, get some experience, because I don't think Sage Northcutt was by any means a finished product. I think if you're really trying to climb into the upper echelon of the UFC's title picture, you need to be that finished product. Make the most money you can, get the experience, and then come back if necessary. But I think this was the right career move for him for sure.
I think it's a great place for him. It's a great home for him because of them valuing martial arts.
Sure.
We spoke to Shatri Sichotong on the show today. But I will say this one's a bit of a head scratcher because the UFC invested so much in Sage Northcutt.
When you say head scratcher, you're talking about from whose perspective?
The UFC's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not from Sage.
No.
This is the easy choice.
Paid. Yeah.
This is the easy choice.
Go where you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
This is a short game.
And he's not knocking on the title picture of the UFC. Go make the money. Get the experience.
He's 6-2, but let's be honest, they were giving him a lot of favorable matchups. And why it makes no sense. They were consciously trying to build this guy up. Like, he meant a lot to them. He was the first product of the Looking for a Fight series. Yep. they rushed him. Remember, they had him fight on that card in Houston, and then they brought him back in Las Vegas, that card that was headlined by Page and Rose, and they brought him back for Fox. It ended up working out there because he took the fight at 170 against Barbarina and was sick and all that stuff. But like, they were really behind Sage Northcutt, and now he's finally linked up with a team. He's under Uriah Faber's wings. He's with Team Alpha Male. It all seems to be, you know, falling into place. He's not in school anymore. He's a full-time fighter. He's on a 3-fight winning streak. And now you say goodbye to him? People care about Sage Northcutt. He is a draw. He is a ratings draw. The numbers spike when he's on TV.
So what would that point to? That the price tag
was... I get Eddie Alvarez. He was a champ. We know how far he's going to go. He's been there. He's done that.
Yeah.
He lost to Dustin Poirier. I get that. I get Demetrius Johnson.
Yep.
Flyweights didn't sell. His record, he's not going to go through it. I get those. I don't get this one. This is a youngster. The guy isn't even close to 25.
Do you write a blank check for him? I don't know if he's that
guy.
Here's
the problem. He's a product of their own mistake in the sense that his initial payday was a little bit too high. And they received backlash for that. And I still believe that every UFC move that is made, we have to consider it. When we consider it, we have to consider also the lawsuit, because they're in a position now where they want one to emerge as a player, because they want to be able to say, like, look, we're not a monopoly. There's Bellator. There's ONE. Mm-hmm. There's PFL. So I think these are all very strategic moves. This one, though, is a bit of a head scratcher because of how young he is, how marketable he is, how popular he is. People care about him. They either want to see him win or lose. And so I'm a little surprised. Sage Northcutt. If I would have told you at the beginning of the year, Sage Northcutt, like a UFC product, right? A product of the Reebok era, right? Like the Ken doll. Everyone hated Sage because he was
manufactured.
Yes.
Yeah.
They let him go? You would not have believed me.
I would not.
You would say
but it
no
makes
way.
Sense.
You would call me a liar.
After seeing how the year plays out, it makes sense.
How does it make sense?
From not being shocked perspective, not from the UFC perspective. I mean, honestly, from the UFC perspective too, there is a price tag for everybody. And if his price tag was too high, I get it. What you can invest, you can continue to invest money into him, but if he's not going to be what you ultimately think he will, it's like, okay, basketball comparison. Come with me for a second. You have to give John Wall a contract if you're the Washington Wizards, right?
Okay.
You have to give John Wall that contract because he's going to lead your franchise. He's going to be your guy, and he's going to ultimately, be your number one player on your team. But that contract is something you're going to have to get out from under at a certain point. That contract is something that the Washington Wizards are struggling with right now. Not every team is going to be willing to take that one on, and if you're a winning team, it's difficult to justify it. I think the UFC is the winning team, and I think Sage Northcutt's price tag is just a little too high at this point. If he's not going to be an NBA champion, if he's not going to be the guy, the number one guy, let him go elsewhere. And look, if he becomes that guy, then you break the bank and get him back.
John Wall is 28. Sage Northcutt is 22. I'm just saying, I know I'm not, you know.
Come along with me.
Yes. All right. But 28, 22, 22. Yeah,
but that's the thing. When he's 26,
get him back.
Bring him back. Now break the bank.
I love
when
the narrative.
When he's proven.
Let him go out there, get a few fights. He's young.
It wasn't.
Three wins in a row.
No, yeah. It's not. well, I mean, we knew that line of reasoning was nothing when it applied to Ben Askren.
Right.
That was the clearest indicator of, like, go out there and win some fights. Like, Ben Askren hasn't lost a fight in years.
Sure. When they use that.
Yeah, when they use that line of reasoning. But there is something to the idea of, like, I don't know if he's going to be that guy. Is he going to be the face of my company in a few years? And if the price tag that he's getting right now is that price tag, let's bring him back when we need to.
Okay. Bigger head scratcher.
Sure.
Sage Northcutt leaving the UFC. UFC not signing him, letting him walk, or ready for this? You definitely wouldn't believe me if I told you this a few months ago.
Tell me.
Paul Daly fighting MVP in Connecticut. Now, I know this company is based in Connecticut.
That's the answer.
But holy smokes.
Yeah.
How? How does this happen? Can you explain this to me?
I don't
How
know.
Does this happen?
I don't know.
In Connecticut, Mohegan Sun's a great facility for them. And I understand this has something to do with the zone and the tournament. How? Just explain to me. How do you put one of the most anticipated fights in the history, and I don't say this lightly, the history of British mixed martial arts in Connecticut? How do you do that? Can you explain this to me? Does it not piss you off?
With the hope that the Brits will travel? I don't know. There is no answer for that. That is the head scratcher of the decade.
Do you remember when they had that press conference? They weren't fighting each other, but they were fighting on the same card.
Yeah.
And Coker was sitting in between them. And they were sitting at this small table. And there was so much tension.
I remember it.
Could you imagine
well.
If they do a press conference in England? And they may do one. They probably will do one.
To what end? For what reason?
Yeah, the fight isn't going to be in England.
Don't even do it. What's the point? You're just teasing them with something that's not even going to come to fruition.
It's making me mad. It actually makes me mad. There's no explanation for this.
There is no explanation. I sure it's going to take somebody smarter than me to come up with it.
Paul
I don't have
Daly,
it.
MVP. This is one of the few times that Bellator has a fight that they could say we could maybe outdraw the UFC in this market with this fight right now, right?
Yeah.
Two British stars who hate each other. When does
who
that
will
happen?
Sell this.
When does that happen?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a
I have
civil
no answer.
War. In Connecticut. It's not even like at MSG or something. It's in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Well, the idea.
You could sell me on an idea of this fight could sell anywhere. Mm-hmm. It's big. It belongs, you know, somewhere big. But not in Connecticut.
In Connecticut?
It needs to be in the UK. Look, it's not too late. Fix this.
No, they're not fixing it.
Fix it.
Sorry. They should fix it.
Fix it.
They should do a one fight card. Just that.
You could sell out the arena.
I'll fly over just to watch it. I don't want to see that fight in Connecticut. I want to see it in London. I want to see it in Nottingham. I want to see it in Manchester. Yeah. I want to see it in Liverpool.
Look, I want to see the fight in Connecticut, but only because I want to see, I mean, I have to see the fight. But, man, the atmosphere is going to be.
So that was a head-scratcher on their part. I'll tell you what I did like, and I'm sort of running through a long list of things because there's just so much that's happened over the past week. It's insane. Allowing Darion Caldwell to go to Ryzen to fight Kyoji Horiguchi for their 135-pound title, and then perhaps if Horiguchi wins, he comes over. This is all great.
You've made a bad decision and now one great decision.
Yes. So you see, I don't want to be all negative towards Bellator, but that's a phenomenal decision. That's big time stuff. I love that.
Awesome fight.
We need more of that. Quite frankly,
yeah,
the
trade, the talent sharing, all of this is only good.
Only good. This is something that's done in boxing all the time, where promoters get together.
I mean,
they settle their differences. It doesn't happen every day. There are issues.
Chuck Liddell coming into this is not new for combat sports, but it seemed to have disappeared for a little bit, and now that we're getting it back, I'm very happy about it.
Wow, that is fun. For a real title there, like real 135-pound title.
And make no mistake, Horiguchi is one of the best fighters in the world. Like, that is not just,
It's big time.
You know, let's put our best guy who's in the promotion. Horiguchi is one of the best guys in any promotion. So that is a fantastic fight.
Okay, so I've told you about what I like and what I don't like from this past week. Another thing that I like, and let me just try to get it right here. I'm trying to find the exact date. I don't want to get it wrong, so I won't say it. I'll tell you what I do like. Crone Gracie.
Oh, yeah.
Crone Gracie getting signed, fighting Alex Caceres. And I know I hear this a lot. There's a lot of, you know, blah, blah, hyperbole. But Abe Kawa told me before this fight was even signed, like a month ago, you need to get Alex Caceres on the show, Bruce Leroy. I have never heard him sound like this before. Something has clicked in this guy. Now all of a sudden he wants a title shot. Now all of a sudden he sees the light. He's motivated. I have never heard him sound this focused on his career. And they give him Crone Gracie. And I saw when the fight was announced, everyone's like, oh, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead, you're dead. And that might be the case to Alex Caceres. That aspect plus a Gracie coming in and not just like – a token Gracie, a legit Gracie, crone freaking Gracie coming into the UFC, who I never thought would be in the UFC, who's like your typical Bellator / Ryzen fighter. This is big time stuff.
Unfortunately, it doesn't matter how motivated Alex Caceres is.
He's going to get smoked?
Crone Gracie is the real deal.
Amazing.
That is a very, very high level grappler.
I was trying to think, I think the last time a Gracie has won in the UFC.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Was 1994. The last time Hoist won. Because Hollis Gracie fought, Henzo Gracie fought.
And no wins. Yeah. Well.
24 years.
That's a very tough fight. I'll be interested to see what the betting line looks like on that one. But he is a super prospect.
4-0 in MMA.
Yeah.
All fights in Japan. Three of them for Ryzen. All submissions either in the first or second round. Recently defeated Tatsuya Kawajiri 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Prior to that, defeated Hideo Tokoro. He is legit.
That level of
and
grappling.
And a BJJ legend.
Yeah. That level of grappling is going to be different. I dare say throwback. His grappling is different than the submission first grappling that we're kind of seeing. That's very popular with guys like Gary Tonnen and other high level grapplers that we're seeing transition over to MMA. He is the real deal. So yeah, I'm very excited about his signing. I'm excited about that fight. I think Alex Caceres is a great first UFC opponent for him.
Yeah.
But that is a prospect to watch, no doubt about it.
Okay, let me run through a couple other things and then we'll end on Toronto. Rafael Sanzal versus Marlon Moraes 2, main event in Brazil in February.
All in.
Not an interim title fight, by the way. I know that was put out, but it's not. In fact, this is one of those times where I feel like it actually makes sense. Because TJ's going down, but anyhow, no interim belts.
But fantastic fight. Like, it's time for those two to do it again.
Yeah. Anderson Silva getting a title shot if he beats Israel Adesanya. By the way, I love that thing that Israel Adesanya has been wearing. What is that? Is it like a fanny pack? But also, it looks like... Have you seen this thing?
I think he's just wearing a fanny pack on his neck.
You think
neck,
that's
no?
what it is? I feel like it's a thing. On his chest. It looks like overalls.
I think he's just wearing a fanny pack on his neck.
It's not, because it's like two straps. Anyway, did you see his face off with himself earlier today?
I did, yeah.
He actually got the Anderson bow down pat. So anyway.
Don't love the idea of Anderson getting a title shot.
What is it?
But
mean?
What is it? It doesn't mean anything at this point.
Liddell Ortiz pay-per-view numbers at around 30, 40. I'm actually impressed.
I thought
it was going to be like 10.
Yeah, that's higher than I thought. Honestly, what it shows is that there's interest in this. And if you had priced it differently, you probably could have had some good buy numbers on this.
Yeah.
Like, if 40,000 people were willing to put down that number, what if you had cut that in half?
For 10.
How many would have actually been able to to justify
like,
it?
I heard that the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson thing did like a million, even though they gave,
and then
everyone,
they gave everybody back.
But that was $10. Was it not $10 or $14?
I think it was 10.
Something like that. Yeah. That was dumb. That was dumb on their part. Why did they do that?
The price was wrong, but actually, I mean, it shows that there was a level of interest for that. Yeah,
because I thought it was going to be around 10. UFC is going to Prague for the first time in February. Cynthia Calvillo is coming back rather quickly against Courtney Casey. I like that fight very much.
I also
Speaking of quick turnarounds, Weili Zhang coming back against Tisha Torres.
People are excited about her.
A big step up for her in terms of competition. Also, them bringing her to Las Vegas. Oh, great. My list just went away. Jesus. How about the Rachel Ostovich fight being back on?
That's a weird one. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
I understand her motivation in wanting to use this as a platform for good and wanting to show that, you know, much like Tyson Fury did, you know, that fighting can be cathartic and it can help us get out some of the negativity. But at the same time, this is a very quick turnaround. You know, Tyson Fury was a slow build and a road back. But, you know, who are we to say where her head's at? She may be perfectly motivated, and I just hope it's that. I hope it's only that.
Her interview with our friend Rob DeMello,
she
seemed to be in a happy place. The only thing I'll say is that I hope that everyone kind of sat down, and there's no need to come back quickly. If she wants to, God bless you. More power. But I hope that she wasn't pushed. That's all.
That's it.
And that this is her decision. Right? Because, you know, she deserves to make that call herself. And also, I want to give a shout out to Cage Warriors, who are celebrating their 100th event this weekend. That's going to be fun. And that's going to be right before UFC 231 in Toronto. What do we like on this card? This is an amazing card. Scotiabank Center? Are you kidding me? Canada.
You know, it's funny because I think this is actually a good card too, but I was looking at some of the stuff on some of the forums and people weren't liking this card. I like it.
Carlos Diego Ferreira versus Jesse Ronson making his return. Chad Laprise versus Diego Lima. Brad Katona returning after winning the Ultimate Fighter against Matthew Lopez. Devin Clark against Alexander Rakish. All right. That's the prelims. Now we get into the good stuff. The Canadian gangster Olivier Aubin-Mercier returning, trying to bounce back against Gilbert Burns. They have beef. Eric Anders against Elias Theodoro. They have beef. Caitlin Chookagian against Jessica Eyes, sorta. Important fight at 125. And then Claudia Gadelha against Nina Ansaroff. Very important. Then Jimmy Manuel, Thiago Santos, Hakeem Dawoodu against Kyle Bochniak, Alex Oliveira against Gunnar Nelson, Valentina Shevchenko against Joanna Jędrzejczyk, and Max Holloway versus Brian Ortega. What is there not to like?
All names I recognize.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
This is a lot of fun.
I like the card a lot.
And the Toronto crowds are always great.
I think there's quite a few fights here that could go either way. And I have some picks.
What do you got?
I have to pick against, unfortunately, the Canadian gangster, who I love dearly.
How dare.
But I think Gilbert Burns as an underdog here at +115 to Olivier is going to get it done. I think stylistically, this is going to be one where Gilbert's going to be able to shine on the feet, and I think he's going to be able to finish Olivier. So Gilbert Burns +115. I like him in this spot over Olivier, who is -135. And I also like...
Okay.
Jessica Eye. I also like Jessica Eye at +150, an underdog to Caitlin Chookagian at -170. I'm a little surprised. I thought the veteran experience would probably give Jessica Eye the edge here, but on the books. But she is an underdog, and I think she continues to grow as an underdog. No, she opened at +185. It's kind of bounced around. But I like Jessica Eye here. I think she looks really good at 125, and I'm picking her. Two underdogs. I had some picks, JDS, over the weekend, that one cashed, and I had, Tim Means parlayed with, Usman, that also cashed.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm on a nice little streak.
Look at you. Not touching the Brian Ortega, Max Holloway fight. Ortega's
now, I'll tell you this.
Favorite.
It was close to even money this morning.
Holloway favorite. Yes.
It was close to even money this morning. And honestly, I like Max at a lot of these prices. My reservation is I need to see how Max looks this week. That's my only reservation in picking Max. I think stylistically, I think Max has the advantage in this fight in a big way. I don't think Ortega is going to be able to kind of implement his will as he has with some of these other fighters in the run. But I have to see him make it to the scale, and I have to see how he looks on the scale. That's the one reservation.
And Valentina Shevchenko, a favorite over Joanna Jędrzejczyk.
Yeah.
-300. To +289.
It's hard to see a path to victory here for Joanna Valentina winning the previous matchups in you know their striking battles. Unless grappling gets involved, I don't see what would be potentially different here. I think Valentina is going to be able to impose her will. I don't see any reason to go away from that.
Well, I got to say, I am excited to go to Canada. Toronto events are always great. The crowds are always great. Always fun around this time of the year. They've been to Toronto a couple times around this time of year. It's freezing, but it's
the
fun.
Raptors rolling.
Unfortunately, they won't be there while we're there, but they are rolling, and they beat the Golden State Warriors with Max Holloway in attendance as well. One last thing before I go. You are probably watching this on the brand new ESPN MMA YouTube channel. This is very exciting, not just for me, but for everyone involved in our little team. And I just want to remind you, when I started here around 6 months ago, I said, have patience. Now, I didn't do these things. There's a whole team working on this stuff behind the scenes, a lot more talented and smarter than I am. But I told you to have patience, that the sport was in very good hands over here at ESPN, that we made the right move, that we're only going to continue to grow and do bigger and better things. I told you all of this, and a lot of you didn't believe me. And I think I have proven at this point that I am a man of my word and that I will tell you the truth time and again. Well, here we are on the new ESPN MMA channel, and a lot more exciting things are to come on this channel and in the whole ESPN MMA universe. So just stick with me. Believe in us. Believe in this. It's nice to have you here. On that note.
Well done.
Jake, you hit my music.
I thought the timing was right.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
it was a job well done. I wanted to ask you about your weekend, Jake, but we ran out of time. Talked to you a little.
Tampa, got some sun. It was great.
Got some Tampa, hanging out with the boys. A little Hanukkah over there in Tampa.
Oh, happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Same to you and yours. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you guys have watched movies in 3D, but it's a phenomenal experience. I highly, highly recommend it. Next time I'll give you some other movie reviews.
Yeah, I feel like I've jumped into a time machine to 2010.
Oh, there's so much. My head is spinning. I feel like I could do another 4 hours. Jake, why don't you rewind the clock?
Yeah, let's do it.
And let's just do it. We could do a whole other show.
Good thing we got next Monday.
Good thing we have next Monday. But there's going to be other things to talk about. There's going to be Bellator going to Hawaii for the first time. There's going to be the Final Fox show, Aya Quinta against Kevin Lee. There's just going to be a whole other thing of topics to talk about. For now, though, we are done. We are done. We are out of time. It's been a great day here on the program. Once again, I appreciate everyone who tuned in. If you missed anything, check us out on iTunes, the app, ESPN.com, Stitcher, all those places, and the brand new ESPN.com MMA YouTube channel. Not .com, just ESPN MMA YouTube channel. It's very special. We're excited. You're excited. We're all excited. Off to Canada. See you next week. Same time and place. Till they say peace.